Welcome. This is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. If you'd like to join the conversation, yeah, it's live radio, so you can join in. Let's talk about some money. Yours, making it, keeping it, growing it, problems with it. Yeah, money comes with problems too. 504-260-0995. We're on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and some other names out there, LinkedIn. So you can watch the show as always, download the Winning at Life app, or jump over to GregoryRicks.com on the media tab. And you can text, email, and call the show through the Winning at Life app.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. You know, there's a bunch of news. We're not going to get to it all. So I just want to read through some highlights here, because whenever we're off for like 4 days in a row, this happens. News piles up that you need to know about. First thing I think you need to know about is this Paycheck Protection Program has reopened starting today. It is now, there was $132 billion left over. And so they pushed some paperwork through Congress. It got signed, and the government-backed Paycheck Protection Program officially reopens today. This is for small business owners. If you haven't yet already applied for forgivable loans, then you have a second shot. You get a second swing at the same pitch. Now, this money's left over from that $2.2 trillion CARES Act that was signed at the end of March. It ran out really fast, and then they re-upped it, and then that didn't run out. And so, God forbid, if they let $132 billion go unspent, they're going to go ahead and try and get it out. It was originally $670 billion that was appropriated, so $132 billion left. They would hate to just have that stay in the hands of the taxpayers or not add to the deficit, Gregory. Do you think there's a lot of people out there who need this who haven't signed up? Because we've gotten a couple of regretful calls, people saying, I don't know, I thought about getting help, but I didn't. If you haven't got help by now, is that even going to get spent, you think?
I think it still could get spent. You know, as far as the stats or seeing anything on that, I don't know. But, you know, there's some businesses struggling. And a lot of businesses don't want debt. What if the business does continue bad? What's their obligation on that? There's a lot of factors out there. I think a better proposition is you're probably needing help, but you are going to pull out of this as well. And then there's probably a lot of business people that may not quite understand, grasp the purpose of it. You know, I've talked to a lot of business people over the years, and I enjoy those conversations about businesses, growing them, leveraging them. And even at have times discussing, you know, buyouts and such and how to structure that, or look at deals and say, you better be happy with what you're getting on the front end, because you may not get the back end. You know, those type of conversations as well. And then sometimes looking at deals after they're done and realize, yeah, your thing was doing what you were doing, but your thing was not negotiating a buyout of the business either. So that just takes me back. There's probably people that could use that, and it can be opportunity money, but they just have not fooled with it. Too busy surviving.
Yeah, I can see that. I'd be interested to see what a great economic sign that would be if this $132 billion doesn't go away, because we're seeing some sharp upticks in other economic indicators. We'll talk about the jobs report in a minute. Next headline, a U.S. District Court orders the Dakota Access Pipeline shut down, and it has to be emptied by August 5th. Okay, so this thing's already open. It's already pumping oil. It's not leaking anywhere, but they went back through the permitting process and found that some I wasn't dotted or some T wasn't crossed in an environmental review. And so it was a trip, because the permits had been shut down and delayed and rejected, and the previous administration had rejected them, so they had to go back and redo some of it. And when the Trump administration showed up, they waived some of the environmental reviews. And so then there was another lawsuit from a Sioux tribe. The Standing Rock Sioux tribe. And they found a judge that was sympathetic to their cause. They're like, well, out of an abundance of caution for the environment, we got to shut this thing down and redo the environmental review process. It's one of these things where, listen, it's one thing to be punching on oil when they're making billions in profits, but There's suffering.
Does this have anything to do with the Keystone pipeline?
They're not the same project at all, but they are setting precedents for each other as they go. So it covers some of the same ground too. It goes through North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and then it cuts across, goes under the Missouri River into Illinois, where there's a depot that'll ship it via tanker down to the Mississippi and rest of the world. So that's thought that was interesting. The pipeline that's not leaking or anything. It's not like it leaked and ruined a tree or killed a duck or something. That would be an environmental concern, but it's already performing and not leaking and not causing damage to the environment. Can't you just study it while it's still got oil going through it? Or I feel I must be naive because it seems real easy.
So did you mention they're citing an 1851 treaty and interference with religious practices of the tribe?
Yeah, that's they found, like I said, a little I that wasn't dotted or T that wasn't crossed. And so when you do these environmental impact statements or environmental reviews, you've got to go make sure all of these laws going back through the annals of history, Gregory, they're all complied with. You miss one T, you miss one I, and some judge will come back and turn it off. You know, we reported just last week that there was a report, I think it was like a Baker Hughes or something to that effect, that said if shale stays at $35 a barrel, if oil stays at $35 a barrel, one third of our oil companies are insolvent. This does not help. They want to put these people out of business. They don't care about the environment. They just don't like oil. Anything to add to that before I go to the next one?
I'm good.
Okay.
It keeps me out of trouble if I don't say anything else about this
one. Yeah, I had to kind of tap the brakes on that one too. But the next one, Tesla, their CEO Elon Musk, making fun of short sellers again. On the company website, he was listing a new product called Short Shorts. And that's what they are. It's red satin shorts with gold trim, available for just under $70. Got the Tesla logo on the left side. And it says sexy on the back. S3XY. You know how the kiddos like to jumble up their letters sometimes.
And what website was he selling this on?
Tesla.com.
Oh, where he sells cars.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just funny because these people really great on him. Why does he hate short sellers so much? Why does he even give them attention?
Oh, I get the tie-in. Short the shorts.
Yeah, he's making fun of the short shorts. Short shorts for the short sellers.
And did he sell out?
It doesn't say if he sold out. I might try and get me a pair because that'd just be funny to have. I mean,
could it be you go there to buy the short shorts and you get shorted? Meaning they sold out. You get it? Get it?
I do. I'm just debating on whether or not I should laugh at it.
It's just...
But you know this is a joke because the actual price for it is $69.42. Now, anyone who's been on Reddit or knows a 12-year-old boy knows the hilarity in the first part. The decimal, though, 0.42.
Could those show up as part of somebody's uniform in Mardi Gras?
Oh, a uniform for Mardi Gras. That's a brilliant idea. Are we going to have to start a walking crew or
no,
something?
No, we are not.
We could be the short shorts.
We are not.
You know how ridiculous we would look? They would love us. We would be like the 6'10 stompers.
I would not do it.
You don't like the 6'10 stompers because they look cool. You like them because they look so uncool. It kind of goes all the way around full circle until they're cool again. This is what we would look like in the short
shorts. I'm social distancing at a long range.
I've been working out. I want people to see my thighs. So there's someone noticed, though, $69. Haha, that's funny. But why the 42 cents? Well, the 42 might be short for 420, which is a possible reference to some say weed. But really, we're thinking Elon Musk. That is the price that he had to secure to get the take the company private. And so he thinks that there's, because that was the first big goal that he was trying to beat the short sellers to. They didn't want him to get to that number. And he has blown way past that. But I don't understand why he cares. As long as you keep doing your job and your stock keeps going up, they get punished just by doing what they do. They don't need your commentary to go with it. Do you know more about that than I do? Because I don't know why.
I wouldn't have bought the company back then, and I surely wouldn't want to pay the price it's going for now.
All right, I got one more headline. And then
there's some other car companies I would buy first.
Should we do that now? No, let's do that later. All right, the last one. Another study comes out. This one confirms what we'd actually talked about this earlier this year from a different study. But more money does actually buy you happiness. Remember that? We did that in like February. Money does buy happiness. This is happiness survey data from 44,000 adult Americans. And this is a long one, between 1972 and 2016. It was done by the General Society Survey. I already know how you feel about that. More money buying happiness. I mean, it's easy to say money doesn't buy happiness, but if you're already a happy person, money can make you happier. If you're already a miserable person, money can make you more miserable too. It might just amplify the type of person you are already.
Yeah, you've heard both sayings. Money can buy happiness and...
money can't buy happiness.
Yeah.
But broke can't buy anything.
Money's the root of all evil and money's at the root of all success. It just depends how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I want to get into the numbers here, really. The big news of the day.
Which numbers? The Patrick Mahomes numbers or the Wall Street numbers?
Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was talking about this over the weekend. I had no idea he was really getting the deal done this quick. But I was basically saying it's going to be one of the biggest guaranteed contracts, and it'll be the biggest contract ever. But I'm also going to make a prediction.
Ooh.
He's going to be the first player to make $1 billion during his career. Think about it. If he signs some $500 million contract early in his career, he's just, you know, just out of college and wins a darn Super Bowl almost, you know?
Right. He's 24.
Think about it. This doesn't include any side deals, merchandising, not anything besides putting his name on the ketchup bottle, you know? Imagine that. And he's young. What do you think in 10 years another deal's going to be worth? Might be a shorter period that pays this much money. And just with the side marketing, which go strap on a few more Super Bowl belts, you know, I see $1 billion in earnings, not just football, but total earnings. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a given. I thought you were saying just in football, and I think he might do it.
He could get there. I'm just... might be a little stretch because our vision just can't go that far. But think of this.
Unbelievable. I think you were right. I think you're that sounds ridiculous, but you're right. In ten years.
Yeah, this is a $500 million deal, 10 years.
Yeah. So in 10 years he's gonna be 35. If you do the Tom Brady math, you're gonna expect him to play for another 7 years or get another
Drew Brees.
Sure.
There's a few of them out there.
So what's he gonna be raking in when this contract's up? About $20-30 million a year, $30 million a year by the end, right? So that's another
or more by the end.
Yeah, because those bonuses. I'm really confused by the bonus structure, the way it's all set up.
Here is, I'm a little puzzled and slightly stunned. No, not by the big numbers, but they've picked up his fifth-year option for the 2021 season, putting him under contract for the next two seasons. So he's had 2 years left with $27.6 million on the deal. But get this. This coming season is only $2.8 million. The last season of that deal, 2021, is $24.8 million. So on 2021 through 23, he's picking up another $83 million. $21.7, $27.4, and $34 million in 23. Those first 3 years are fully guaranteed as well. But the contract takes him 12 years forward, and that's a $426.5 million contract with Trout that signed fully guaranteed.
Yeah, that was recently. The previous biggest sports contract was the Trout.
Now, they're saying this one has also, league sources said the deal's worth $450 million over 10 years. It could be worth up to $503. The extension includes $140 million injury guarantee as well as a no trade clause. So I wonder if you stack that with the $83 million bonus, the first 3 years being guaranteed, and the $140 million, I wonder if that is part of the $140 million or on top of that, could be a $200 million guaranteed deal. What I was expecting him, and I'm going to say it, I think Kansas City got a sweet deal on this because I think him having the biggest deal ever was going to be the biggest guarantee. And I stunned he doesn't have $20 million a year guaranteed for the 10-year extension. Easy. So but that's just kind of my thoughts on there. I still think they got a sweet deal knowing what this guy brings to the table. A
couple notable things is how incredibly backloaded this whole deal is and how incredibly cheap they're getting him for the next 2 years, especially this year. Did you say $2.8 million?
Yeah, but the bonus he's getting, but yeah, their cap hits like nothing for this coming season. But after that, and with bonuses going in, yeah, he's going to be top paid rest of the way out. It's going to average out that he is paid at the top.
Now, was there no bonus for this season coming up?
Because, no.
Okay, so this is what Patrick Mahomes, or makes most sense in my head, must be thinking. We just won a Super Bowl. If I go out and $20 million cap hit or something bigger than that, I'm going to destroy my chances at repeating. They're not going to be able to resign all these guys that just got me here. They're going to be more expensive as it is. And if I can just tap the brakes on getting the big checks for another year, I have a good chance of repeating.
And that's one reason I say they got off light is he's probably thinking more team. This sounds like more Tom Brady, Drew Brees-like, being team friendly, mm-hmm. that you're still going to make a lot of money over time. And they told him, look, we're going to even build insurance into this thing. If you get hurt, you're set for life. There's $140 million insurance policy built into this thing. And we're going to throw some money at it after this year too, because it helps with the cap.
It's such a cool
story. And he's locked up. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, Alex Smith type situation, busting your leg up, right. Or Joe Theismann.
Don't even say that. That's horrible.
But injuries do happen.
I know. I just think about seeing his leg flop around when you say that. What about the Colts
player that,
Andrew Luck, right?
Hit too many times? You know, it just hurts too much to get out of bed and play. So he's basically set up. No matter how it plays out, he's set. And that's probably how he's looking at it. He said, let's go play ball.
Good for him.
The number.
Welcome to the number segment on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world while you were out today winning it life or sitting at home. I don't know what you're doing. But follow along on the exact same charts and graphs I'm looking at. It was a beautiful day. Look at all this green on the indexes, because the Dow Jones was up 1.8%. The S&P was up 1.6%. But don't look now. The NASDAQ was up 2.2%. Absolutely crushing a new record. So not only is the NASDAQ over 10,000, I was just getting used to seeing the 10,000 next to the NASDAQ symbol over here, but it's to 10,433.65. So congrats on the NASDAQ. They had a good weekend.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, but I'm looking over here at the Nikkei.
Japan.
Yeah, did you see that?
No, what'd they do?
Off 88 points. Yeah, crazy. Okay, something going on over there, obviously. The 10-year treasury, yeah, we're at 6.86% yield.
No, 0.6.
Did I say that wrong?
Yeah.
0.686% yield. Crude oil, we'll get this one right, $40.77 we're seeing as last. Brent crude, $43.19. Gold futures have worked their way back up towards 1800. We're at $1,793. And silver's $18.60.
Well, on the short sheet, the big party is happening over at the Amazon HQ, if they ever have an HQ or found a new one, or I don't know which one they're at. But it crossed $3,000 per share, which is absurdly high. Is that... That's not like the record highest stock we got, but I don't know of a whole lot of stocks that are higher than $3,000 a share these days, Gregory. That is insane. Doesn't that kind of hurt people's ability to get into and out of the stock? Like, once a stock gets to a certain height, doesn't it sort of impede people's ability to buy in?
Absolutely.
I think of Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, where he intentionally has his stock price at, what is it, like $200,000 a share? Because he doesn't want people just flippantly getting in and out and short selling it or day trading it or whatever. He wants investors, not stockholders.
Well, you can pull a bunch of your friends together, you know, let's say $30.57 each, a bunch of you, and you can buy a share.
No.
Think about that.
I don't want it that bad. Don't want it that bad. Sounds like a bad idea. It does seem like...
And you'd get in trouble because it's too big of a gathering when you get everybody together to pull the money.
Right. It'd have to be 10 or fewer of you.
Yeah.
Or it'd be a protest.
So then you're having to be $300 a person. And once again, that's not giveaway either.
I have a feeling, though, that as expensive as it is, as huge as it is, this is one of those companies that has room to grow. Think about yourself. Aren't you using Amazon more this year than you were last year? Yeah, me too.
I'm not admitting that. But, you know, we were talking about back when Tesla was about to go private. Do you know what the market capitalization, what that company's worth approximately today? It's around $224 billion. That's a lot to buy. And they don't build a lot of cars. Toyota builds more than them. Ford builds more than them. If you had to say, what could I go buy that wouldn't cost me $224 billion?
Right.
So if you could do that, what would you want to go buy? You know, some cutesy little car company, some off-road expert, or something flashy. I'm thinking, heck, for $30 billion, I could pick up Ferrari. That'd be a lot more fun than owning Tesla at $224 billion.
It'd be more fun?
Oh, it would be. Just think about it.
Why would it be more fun? They don't have a flashy CEO that's shooting off rockets to Mars. Cool stuff like that.
No, but let's see. If you parked some of those cars on the same street, which do you think they'll be taking pictures by?
The Ferrari, definitely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Case made.
Well, Elon Musk had his picture taken with Kanye West over the weekend. That doesn't change your mind? I mean, future president Kanye West. I mean.
I don't know. I'm just kind of making a point about the valuations there of those companies. That's all. Not a political statement. And there you go. Bringing politics into the conversation.
Now, check this out.
I had a great non-political 4th of July.
Mine too. Why wouldn't you buy Ford? Why wouldn't you buy a GM? I mean, Ford, best-selling truck in the country for 35 years. You don't want a piece of that?
And I would, except they carry too much debt.
Makes it scary, doesn't it?
Yeah. They've got more debt than what Ferrari's worth. So,
wow. Is that what the numbers are? It's believable if they do have more debt than what Ferrari's worth. But that's one of these things where, hey, you know how that math has all these pension programs underwater in places like New Orleans and Chicago and Detroit?
Yeah, I don't want to buy the pension either.
Right. That math is not that much different for private sector car companies, or at least the big three, I should say. And for me, that's the biggest thing that if you're going to buy Tesla over Ford is you say, Tesla still has room to grow, and it doesn't have a growing pension burden to go along with it. Ford does not have room to grow, and they do have a growing pension burden to go along with it, which will make them less capable of handling their growing pension burden. So I can understand why. I don't know. It just seems so weird, though, that it's worth so much more, and they just don't sell that many cars. It's weird. That's why it's fun to talk about, because you can make a case to go either way.
Let me see if I got a number here for
how much debt Ford's carrying.
Well, AT&T's like top of the list at $166 billion. Oh, here you go. Ford.
Okay.
$100 billion.
$100 billion in pension obligations or debt?
In debt.
Oh, that's ridiculous. They're dead.
So you see, love me some Ford, but not... I wouldn't want to go buy it and then you pick it. They say, oh, you got to take the debt and the pension too. Dude, I'm getting Ferrari for $30 billion. I don't care if it has $10 billion in debt. I'm at 40 then.
That's insane. $100 billion in debt. You know, even if you have a healthy company that otherwise is functioning properly, it's like having an Olympic athlete with just a giant Stegosaurus plate tumor coming off its back. And it just grows every year.
Top five companies with the most long-term debt: AT&T first, Comcast second, Verizon third, Ford fourth, and GE is fifth. Tough.
Those are killers. Debt is a killer.
Does it bother you that Apple has $93.7 billion?
No, because we know they have $300 billion in cash that they just don't want to repatriate from overseas.
Yeah, I guess your debt doesn't look too bad when you've got all that cash sitting on hand. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm.
And the only reason they don't bring it over here and spend it is they don't have to pay the taxes on it. So that's why they took out the debt over here in the first place. It's cheaper to issue a bond than it is to pay the taxes on repatriated profits. How sick is that?
Yeah, that's actually crazy when you bring it up that way.
All right, now we get missed the jobs report. This was a special jobs report because it's the rare one that happened on a Thursday.
Market's been happy since then, I'll just say.
Well, it should, because the top line number is unemployment came down to 11.1%. Which under normal circumstances, that'd be a scary number. But remember, last month we were at 13.3%. For April, we were at 14.7%. So we've already shed about 3.6% off the peak of what the unemployment numbers were back in April. Headed in the right direction. The big number, though, that I heard blasted everywhere, rightfully so, 4.8 million jobs created in June. And that's an all-time record for the American economy. We had to put ourselves in a funky hole to get there, but pulling ourselves up, at least we set a record there. Can this continue for July? I say don't get too excited. If you turn to the second page of our printouts here, Gregory, that top line number is an anomaly that I found for you. And that is when you look at how long the duration of unemployment, the people that are unemployed for less than 5 weeks. Well, that's just for most of June and the last week of May. That's not going to be really coronavirus related. But that 5 to 14 weeks category, that's exactly the time span of the coronavirus layoffs. 3.3 million of those jobs came back. That's a big chunk. And so that number is down to 11.5 million of those people are still unemployed. A year ago, it was 1.8. We get that number down, this problem is solved. However, we're not having unemployment run out until the end of July. Fingers crossed that they don't extend it. I think we're going to see a much bigger jump when we get the numbers at the first week of September, when the numbers come out for August. I think we're going to see some massive upswing in jobs there. Does that theory still hold water with you, Gregory?
Yeah, it does. What's also interesting is looking at the one-year chart. For those on Facebook, Periscope, and YouTube, LinkedIn, watching the show, we'll show you the chart. And this is just basically looking. I've got a number of indicators pulled up, but basically it's a candlestick chart, and you can just see what this market has done. And you know, if you had to describe that, it sure looks like a V-shaped recovery, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't get a whole lot more V-shaped than that.
And it's had a nice run the past few days as well that we're seeing there. So
this is S&P 500?
Yeah, S&P 500.
So it looks like it's just a few hundred off from the record high it set right before the coronavirus downturn.
It's not all that far from it.
Okay, well then, NASDAQ's almost there. NASDAQ's already there.
You realistically could say if things continue. Now look, we have a run-up in cases, and it depends on how you break the numbers, but yeah, Corona's still going on. Did we think it stopped? And it was, you know, people are still going to be getting sick. And there's some that don't want to wear masks and all and want to crowd together in bars and stuff. So people are going to get sick. So that's going to continue. It wasn't going to completely go away. However, we're going to work our way through this. And it is going to get better.
That's a good-looking chart you got there, Greg.
Yeah, so I think there's potential to, could we see it get back up there close to that top by end of the year? You can't say it won't. It could.
We'll see what happens in the
it
election.
It might not.
That might be the turning point.
I don't
point.
Know, but I'm optimistic.
Dan in Metairie, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Dan?
You guys talking about money can't buy happiness?
That's right. The new study says money can buy happiness, Dan.
Well, they got this saying used to be that money can't buy happiness, but it sure can let you look for more places for it.
That's a good one. I like that, too.
Sure can look for it in a lot more places. Look, one quick question for you guys, though. What's the new stuff on this PPP thing?
All right. So, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because we mentioned it in the first segment. But I actually had a didn't I have some audio of that from earlier? Yeah, here it is. No. Where'd that go? Yeah, so the PPP thing got extended. There was $132 billion left over in that original $670 billion that they had allocated out. And so the situation arises, well, what are we going to do? Not spend that money? We're government. We can't put money back. That's wrong. And so they just open it back up under similar rules. It's similar program we've been talking about. They're just going to try and spend that $132 instead of leaving it go, instead of letting it go unspent, if that makes sense.
I'm ready to spend some.
Yeah, I can't blame you there. There was one question on it from the press conference today. I got it right here. And thank you for your call, Dan.
$132 billion in the pot. What does the president think that money should be used for if it's still there after August 8th? And then in a CARES 4 specifically, what should be there to help small businesses?
Yeah, so I don't have any updates on phase 4. I've mentioned that the payroll tax is something of great interest to the president because it would help low and middle income Americans most. The PPP funding, they've done an extraordinary job with that. Small businesses across the country have gotten this, and we've kept people on payroll. So he's very pleased with the progress that's been made there and the continuing functioning of the PPP.
Yeah, that was about it. I mean, do you want to hear the follow-up? I think she pretty much blew it up, right?
Would he veto a bill then that did not have a payroll tax relief in it?
Yeah, I don't want to set parameters or conditions. That'll be up to the president when the bill arrives on his desk.
Yeah, okay. So that didn't help very much. There you go. That's a nice little rundown. Gregory, anything before the next article? All right, so this came from GregoryRicks.com is where I found it, but this was originally published on Forbes. Headline is 10 Steps to Achieving Your Financial Independence Day. First thing you have to do is define what financial independence even means.
First off, it's not just that question, and a lot of people don't necessarily have an answer for that, but it's part of getting to know somebody on what's their objectives, you know, and part of that is, are you in your retirement home? What do you like to do for fun? What do you want to do with extra time? So you start building that. I don't know if it's just one thing. And a lot of people have a situation of retirement is like, what am I going to do now? I don't know. I don't have any help. I just work. See, it's going to take more of that. And some of that vision is, I'm buy a motorhome and travel the country. For some people, that's awesome. For me, that looks like work. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just want to be out on my boat every day. Well, for me, that kind of looks like work. Everybody has a little bit different perspective in what that may look like.
Number two says, put some numbers on your dream, which you usually phrase as, how much do you need? How much would it cost to live the lifestyle you have today, basically? How much does it take a month to keep all that going?
Yeah, and then how are you generating that income? So, you know, if you look at, I need $40,000 a year. So you probably need $1.2 million if we're looking at assets. But then if you factor in Social Security, pension, some other source of income that you may have, then that brings that lump sum number that you're needing to kick in income with down.
All right. Then you got to find out what you're going to be getting from Social Security. Are most people disappointed when they find out what they're getting from Social Security, or is it about what they expected? Is it below expectations? Where does that land?
I don't know. I don't receive disappointment. Like, gosh, that's a real bummer. I don't have that. And it's more of, it is what it is as a number, but it's a part of planning because you can get more out of it by waiting if that's the right thing for you to do. But I'm going to jump back to dream.
Yeah.
Because that dream could be that boat or that motorhome or that cruise or those cruises. So when you're looking at putting numbers, what does it cost? But what is the cost of the other things that you want to do to factor in?
Well, that's your process where you determine what's your needs and what's your wants. We'll start with your wants. And if that ain't going to cut it, well, then we'll just start paring it down.
And
to
then
your
we
needs.
Got two income that we were talking about.
Right. So income, basically, besides Social Security, what are you going to be able to get off of retirement assets and contributions? So your IRAs, things like that.
And if you're working towards that, how can you generate other or create other income sources?
See, I like that you keep using the term generate, because a lot of people consider retirement just a spend down. You have $1 million. You're going to spend $50,000 a year to keep your lifestyle up. So you just do some math. Okay, that'll last me 20 years. Well, but it doesn't work like that.
A spin down is fine, long as we know about it and it's going to go slow enough and last long enough. A spin down can be fine. Let's just not run out of money before age 100.
Okay, so run a retirement calculation. You got to look at your life expectancy, a 3% inflation rate, and rates of return around 4.6% according to this Forbes article. I think that rate of return, a little generous here. But I also think that life expectancy of at least 90 is a little dangerous as well. I'm going to set mine out to at least 100.
Yeah, and with those numbers, what I get here is you might not should just look at one scenario. The inflation rate, you might want to look at it a little bit lower at times. It could average higher, but it's not going to be that. It's not that number now, and it's not going to be that number in the near future, but it could be much higher 20 years from now. Also, 4 to 6%. I would start lower to begin with, and I don't know that I would go to 6%, because if you're kind of saying, well, I could average 6% in the market, well, maybe you ought to consider sequence of return risk. So then you might want to look at a lower number.
I like number 7 here. Take advantage of tax-advantaged accounts. This is where they drink a little bit of Roth Kool-Aid, but they focused on IRAs and HSAs at the beginning. It just gave a passing mention to Roth.
I think HSAs are used too much, because what do you need?
High deductible health insurance.
I don't run into a lot of those.
All right. Make sure your portfolio is properly diversified and low cost. Are people still getting ate up by fees out there? Or have a lot of people listened to the show and got the message?
There's still a lot out there.
That didn't make you very happy.
No.
That was Gregory's disappointed face. Number 9, I have to do this because I'm a slob. Automate your saving. And I recommend that to other people who are very scatterbrained as I am.
And then number 10, protect that future retirement from long-term care expenses. You got to have a plan for having money for later in life or somebody to pay the bills like long-term care strategy.
All right, that list and a lot of the details are at gregoryricks.com. Look under the news blog tab. If you're looking for the help of a financial advisor, I recommend you start your search with my buddy across the table, Gregory Ricks. Go to gregoryricks.com or call his office 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.